A juror's mistake and later removal means deliberations in the Kirk Zimmerman murder trial must start over.
Because the dynamic, quite frankly, has changed.
That's Judge Scott Drzeski. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Monday, May 6th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the Kirk Zimmerman murder trial. The jury is about to begin its first full day of deliberations. GLT's Eric Stock has more.
Deliberations got off to a rocky start last week. One of the jurors was removed Friday after admitting to reading media coverage of the trial. She was replaced by an alternate juror. Judge Scott Drzeski told the jury that change meant deliberations already underway for several hours had to restart from scratch.
What I need to tell you, though, is that when that occurs, because it doesn't happen very often, to be honest, that certain things need to occur. And so one of the things, unfortunately, and it's a primary thing, unfortunately, is you must start anew from the beginning.
He told jurors they had to pick a new foreman and start their discussion over again.
It is required, the law, okay, that occur, but it makes sense as well that you would do that because the dynamic, quite frankly, has changed.
Prosecutors say 60-year-old Kirk Zimmerman from Bloomington fatally shot his ex-wife Pamela inside her office because of a financial dispute over child support. After the juror issue popped up Friday, Zimmerman's defense attorney, John Rogers, asked for a mistrial. The judge said no. It's unclear how long deliberations will go. Jurors have 4 weeks of evidence and witnesses to consider. Also Friday, jurors asked for access to several exhibits, including a satellite map of the business park where the murder took place. They also asked for the phone records of Pamela Zimmerman's then-fiancé, who the defense has suggested as an alternate suspect. Prosecutors say Zimmerman was strapped for cash and that he was upset about owing more child support. The defense says investigators failed to fully investigate other possible suspects, including the new fiancé and the last client Pamela saw on the day of her death. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other headlines we're following in the GLT newsroom today. State lawmakers have unveiled a recreational cannabis program. Special consideration was given to make sure minorities will be given a chance to obtain licenses to sell because they come from communities most affected by the war on drugs. McLean County Libertarians have invited the head of the Illinois Separation Movement to make his case. Colin Clyburn is advocating for Illinois to carve out Cook County and become the state of Lincoln. He will speak at the Libertarian Party's event in Bloomington Wednesday night. And a Chicago Democrat is asking for $30 million in state funds to go towards security at churches and other not-for-profits across the state. The money would be available to help secure at-risk not-for-profits, which means it's not in violation of separation of church and state. There is a lot of nonsense out there. People treating people terribly, systems unable to help, not hard to feel that all is lost. So every week or so on The Leadoff, we're going to bring you a feature called More of That, Please. Stories about unsung people from central Illinois who, if we cloned them, we'd be in pretty good shape. Today I want to tell you about Bruce Zywick. What makes Bruce special is perspective. His career started as a juvenile probation officer. He spent 25 years with the Illinois State Police, making it all the way to captain of investigations. Great career. He retired in 2007 at age 51. But instead of riding off into the sunset, he rode down to Southern Illinois University, went to law school.
I wasn't the oldest in my class, I'm happy to say. There were about three of us that were in our 50s, and we joined together and had the AARP club.
In 2010, he went to work in the McLean County State's Attorney's Office. First, he handled misdemeanor cases, and when an opening on the abuse and neglect team came up, He raised his hand.
Well, I think most people that go into a state's attorney's office, it's usually newer lawyers, and I think they're interested in pursuing felonies and getting in the exciting cases, and I kind of had a lot of that already.
His time as a prosecutor gave him a new perspective.
I was always one of those police officers that were mad at the state's attorney or mad at the judge because either they wouldn't go for a warrant or a judge found somebody not guilty or gave him a light sentence.
Now he was seeing it from the prosecutor's side, removed from the trauma of a crime scene, and from a judge's perspective, when a bunch of people in suits tell you both sides of a story. He retired, again, in 2016. But Bruce isn't the just-sitting-around type of guy. He decided to volunteer at Prairie State Legal Services, which offers free legal help to low-income people. The director there, Adrian Barr, asked him to help with their new expungement and sealing program to help people with criminal backgrounds get their lives back on track.
Well, you could imagine somebody who spent their entire life giving people criminal histories. That didn't sound like the most appealing thing that I wanted to do. And so I reluctantly said yes, and I'm glad I did, because once again, it gave me a whole new view.
A whole new view and a whole lot of empathy.
Unfortunate thing is once you get a record, especially a felony conviction, your chances of getting employment drop drastically, especially nowadays when you could just go online and go to the McLean County website and put anybody's name in there and see what kind of record they have.
Adrian Barr tells me that Bruce fell in love with the work, and it shows. Here's how he talks about his favorite client.
She had a criminal history that when you popped it up, it took up the whole screen. What I didn't look at, and what I think most employers probably wouldn't look at, is all the dates. And she hadn't been in trouble in almost 2 decades. And when she came into my office, she was the most pleasant woman. And we sat and talked, and I says, you know, I wasn't expecting you to walk through the door. I tell you now that after having spent a lot of time with this lady, if I were in a position to give her employment, I wouldn't hesitate to employ her. But she was not having luck in getting employment because people would look at her criminal history, and even if she was just as qualified as somebody else, I'm sure that they would probably overlook her. We managed to apply and get the records that we could get either sealed or expunged. Sealed, and I'm hopeful, I haven't talked to her, but I'm hopeful that and am confident that she probably has more employment opportunities because of that. I think people can change, and it's good. It's good for her, and it's good for society that she's able to get gainful employment now.
That's Bruce Sywick, a cop who became a prosecutor, who became an advocate for clients who needed him the most. More of that, please. Before we let you go, the two newest members of the Normal Town Council will be sworn in tonight. Stan Nord and Karen Smith were elected back on April 2nd. Kathleen Lorenz also won a second term. And a Bloomington Parks and Rec is looking for community input on a new east side park called Sweeney Park. Be on Pamela Drive. Public meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. at Holiday Inn on Empire Street. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.